Hörverstehenstest
2019
Teil 1 The Presentation.
The first thing that came to my mind was, oh my goodness, why me? Mr. Harris, our English teacher, had just told me that I had been way too lazy throughout this school year and that I could only avoid getting a very bad final mark by giving an oral presentation in class. But I just hated English because it was so boring. And now I was to prepare a presentation in class? That was horrible! And to make things even worse, the topic Mr. Harris gave me for the presentation sounded so terribly uninteresting. Spooky, creepy, and mysterious elements in British literature today and in the past. However, now that I have almost finished preparing my presentation, I must admit that the topic is really very interesting. At first, I had to force myself to start collecting information for my presentation. But once I had found some websites focusing on this topic, I gradually realized that it was not boring at all. Having done a good deal of research into the topic, I decided to start my presentation with our greatest national poet, William Shakespeare. Before preparing this presentation, I had always thought that Shakespeare was just a boring dead old writer, but in actual fact, he is not. In his plays, you can find all kinds of creepy ghosts and witches, as well as a great many other spooky creatures and events. What I found out about Shakespeare during my internet research even encouraged me to read some original passages of his plays, which was great fun indeed. It is true that the 16th century language he uses is sometimes hard to understand, but the storylines and characters in a lot of his plays are really creepy, mysterious, and thrilling. Continuing my research, I found out that part of British literature after Shakespeare is also full of mystery and spookiness. Quite a number of British novels written in the 18th and 19th centuries, for example, are set in old and often haunted castles or monasteries with secret passageways, mysterious chambers, and hidden trapdoors. There is even a name for this category of novels. They are called Gothic novels. Some Gothic novels also include supernatural beings, mysterious events, and scary characters. Two Gothic novels, Frankenstein by Mary Shelley and Dracula by Bram Stoker, are still very well known today and have been turned into famous movies several times. Interestingly, many people think that the monster in Shelley's novel is called Frankenstein, but it is actually the last name of a scientist who creates a human being from parts of dead bodies. Later in the novel, Frankenstein's creature turns into a brutal and horrifying monster. An even scarier example of the Gothic novel, however, is Bram Stoker's Dracula, in which there are vampires who drink human blood and sleep in coffins. Many people think that spookiness, creepiness, and mystery are predominantly elements of literary works that were written way back in the past. However, if you examine the hugely successful Harry Potter novels, for example, which were written by J.K. Rowling around the end of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century, you realize that a lot of those spooky and mysterious elements are still quite popular in modern-day British literature too. To begin with, the hero of the series, a young boy called Harry Potter, belongs to the world of wizards and witches who can work magic and who time and again have to defend themselves against evil supernatural forces or creepy creatures like Lord Voldemort, for example. Second, Hogwarts, the school the young wizards and witches attend, is an old castle with secret chambers, hidden passageways, and a wide range of magical powers. Third, the castle is surrounded by a forest called the Forbidden Forest, which is populated by all kinds of creepy, mysterious, or dangerous beings. Last but not least, the adventures the main characters experience in these novels are all extremely spooky and thrilling. Well, tomorrow I will have to give my presentation in class. So far in this school year, I really have not contributed to or actively participated in English classes at all. but tomorrow I am going to surprise them all. I am quite sure my presentation will be one of the best Mr. Harris and my classmates have ever seen or listened to. Maybe I will even manage to scare all of them a little with my spooky presentation. That would be great fun.
Teil 2. Interview in Cape Town.
A British travel company that has specialized in trips to South Africa is running a new online advertising campaign in order to increase its sales. Part of that campaign includes video clips in which ordinary South Africans are interviewed in the streets of Cape Town about why they think South Africa is a wonderful destination for tourists. Listen to one of those interviews.
Hi, I'm Jack Roberts from the British travel company No Better Place Than South Africa. We are currently running a new advertising campaign in Britain to enhance people's interest in South Africa as a tourist destination. Can I ask the two of you some questions about your home country?
Yes, sure. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, may I ask your names?
My name is Julia, and this is my friend Alison.
Okay, Julia, let's start with you. If you had to convince our British viewers that a trip to South Africa is really worth taking, what would you tell them?
Well, the first thing I would tell them about is South Africa's beautiful nature and landscapes. For example, we have the most gorgeous beaches in the world, not only here in Cape Town, but also in numerous other parts of the country. What's more, in South Africa, you can go on safaris to see a wide variety of wildlife, such as lions, giraffes, elephants, hippos, rhinos, or zebras in their natural habitat.
Thank you, Julia. Now, what about you, Alison? Why would you recommend your home country to British tourists?
Well, I certainly agree with Julia that South Africa's beaches and wildlife are just stunning. And I would like to add two more things to Julia's list. First, along our coastline, you can find an amazingly rich and beautiful variety of sea life, which includes penguins, seals, dolphins, sharks, and whales. And second, South Africa boasts some of the world's most spectacular hiking trails through very diverse and breathtaking landscapes, such as rugged mountains, lush green forests, dry deserts, or deep canyons and gorges.
Wow! The two of you are really whetting my appetite for a holiday in South Africa. I'm sure our viewers will feel the same way when they watch this video clip. Thank you for taking the time to tell us about your terrific home country. Take care and bye-bye. And now, let us walk over to this young gentleman in the grey business suit. Hello, can you spare a few minutes for a short interview?
Yes, I can, but it really has to be short because my lunch break will be over soon.
Of course. Now, I'm Jack Roberts from the British travel company No Better Place Than South Africa. We are currently running a new advertising campaign in Britain to enhance people's interest in South Africa as a tourist destination. May I ask your name?
Yes, of course. My name is Nelson.
Oh, that's interesting. Just like your famous national hero, Nelson Mandela.
Yes, that's right. And I'm very proud of that. You see, being a black person myself, if it hadn't been for Nelson Mandela, I would definitely not be a lawyer today, walking around in a business suit on the streets of Cape Town.
I'm sure you're right. Mandela did influence the history of South Africa like no one else in the last 30 years. Well, from your point of view, why would you encourage British tourists to come to South Africa?
Well, I suppose most tourists come here because of South Africa's magnificent natural resources, such as our wildlife, sea life, and landscapes. However, what most people are not really aware of is the fact that South Africa boasts a wide range of cultural treasures, too. For example, our population is a very interesting and colourful mix of different ethnic groups. The vast majority consists of black African people like myself, although these black Africans are by no means a homogeneous cultural group. In fact, there are quite a number of different black tribes or communities in this country, with their own social structures, traditions, and cultures.
That is indeed interesting. What about the rest of the population?
Well, we also have a white community, often with Dutch, German, and British roots, since those were the first European settlers colonizing the country. Then there is a group of the so-called coloureds, who have a mixed racial background. Last but not least, we also have a significant Asian community. They are the descendants of Indian and Chinese migrants who came here as cheap labor in the 19th century. All these ethnic groups have their own festivals, cuisine, languages, and religions.
I'm sure that those of our viewers who are particularly interested in learning about different cultures and traditions will be motivated to spend their next holidays in South Africa, just because of your description of the rich cultural diversity that South Africa holds in store for them. Thank you very much, Nelson, for providing our viewers with such deep insights into the ethnic mix of South Africa's population.
You're welcome, but I'm afraid I really need to go now.
Yes, of course. Have a nice day. Goodbye.